Yes, and so we're going to be dealing with the subject there of building the temple for God. And so it was one man's aspiration, but then God told David no. We're going to get into all of it in just a moment, but he had a plan for somebody else. So what do you do when God tells you no, but he says yes to somebody else? So are you going to invest in them? Are you going to encourage them? And so I know we read this, what was it, like a month or so ago in our Bible reading, First Chronicles? And the truth here really hit me, and so I want to bring that out here tonight. And I know sometimes you read the Word of God, you do a lot of heart checking, and sometimes it's not always fun and pleasant, but it really allows you to see just where you are in your walk with God and how many times we fall short. And so I think this will just be a help to you here tonight. So look at 1 Chronicles 28. So when God tells you no, but he tells others yes, that's our title here. So look there at 1 Chronicles 28, verse 1. And David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, and the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by course, and the captains over the thousands, and captains over the hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possession of the king, and of his sons, with the officers, and with the mighty men, and with all the valiant men unto Jerusalem. So this is David's farewell address, and you can imagine David there with all the different leaders. And so he has something very important to share with them. There in verse 2, then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, "Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building." So this is his spiritual aspiration. You know, you think about many things, and we'll get into it in just a moment, but all the different things we could do for God and things that we could dream of that we want to do for God. But what has God called us to do? So look there at verse 3. But God said unto me, "Thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. Howbeit the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever, for he had chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over all Israel. And of all my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons, he had chosen Solomon my son to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel." So think about this. So David wants to build the temple for God. God tells him no, but he says, "No, I'd rather have this plan for your son Solomon." So instead of dwelling on the disappointment, he chooses to point his son towards God. Look there at verse 9, and we'll pray and we'll get started. "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." So let's pray and we'll get started. Father, just thank you for this night. Thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for bringing us here safe tonight. And I mentioned, you know, Wednesdays always seem kind of like a long day, but it's always good to be in your house. And it's always something to look forward to, getting out of the world, getting out of our responsibilities, and just focusing on your word. Just want to bring out some truth tonight. Not anything that we've made up, but it's from your word. And I just think of our Bible reading and just how you meet with us many times, and we have to do that heart check and realize many times that we fall short, and we're, you know, too many times thinking about ourselves when we should be thinking about others. You know, have you placed us in the lives of others to help them? And, you know, many times I think we miss that idea and that thought. And so help us just to consider the life of David and just the message he had for the leaders, and then also for his son Solomon. So help us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So there are many things we can do for God. For men, you can aspire to be a pastor, a missionary, an evangelist, a Christian school teacher, a church planner, a Sunday school teacher, a layman. You think of for the ladies, they can be a Sunday school teacher, a Christian school teacher, even assist on the mission field. And so you think all those positions and titles that God can call us to be involved with in our own lives. So he can call us to do any of those things. I know he's dealing with many of the young people about some of those things in particular. So God is calling people, and he's called those people in the past to do those very things. And so it's good to desire to be one of those things, but you have to think about what has God called you to do in your life. You can think, you know, I want to be a great missionary or be a pastor or be a Sunday school teacher. But what does God have for you specifically in your life? And so God has a specific plan for each and every one of us in this room tonight. So it's important to understand that God does not call us to do all those things that I've listed, but he calls us to do things for him specifically. So you can name all those different titles and positions, and God may tell you no about living out those things in your life. He may tell you no to be a Sunday school teacher, or to be no to being a pastor, or no to being a missionary. And there may be some titles and positions that he tells you yes. He wants you to be a layman, or to be just a faithful Christian church member. So you think about all those different things. There's many things God tells us no, but God has a specific plan for each and every one of us. And so we can think about God's will many times in the sense of just thinking about what God's will is for my life. But many times we miss the fact that God has a will for everybody else. And so how am I helping that person to be successful in the will that God has for them? So what about God's will for the life of others? So if God tells you no in one area, then that means he's telling somebody else yes. So if he tells you no about being a missionary, that means that he's saying yes to being a missionary for somebody else. Maybe someone that lives in your home, maybe someone that's in your Sunday school class, if you're a Sunday school teacher. So God has told you no, but he's telling somebody else yes. And so how are you going to help that person to achieve what God has for them? And so I was thinking about that, you know, just as you study and as you read God's word, that many times you think about God's will and we just think of it in the sense of that, hey, what's God's will for my life? Instead of thinking about what's God's will for other people's lives. How can I help them achieve what God has for them? So you think of the position of being a missionary, and we always learn about this during the missions conference, that God may not call you to go to the field, but we can work a job, we can be faithful to Faith Promise missions. You think about being a pastor, you think about a local church, there's only one pastor, and so you're either pastoring the church or you're helping that person. So the church has one pastor, however you can help the pastor that God has given you to fulfill what God has called him to do. So here in our passage, here in chapter 28, the focus here is on building a temple for God. So this was the spiritual aspiration of David, to build something that had never been built before, which was a temple for God. So building a temple for God is what David wanted to do. So this was one of those good aspirations. However, we find that God would tell him no in building this temple. So if he was going to tell David no, that would mean that he would say yes to somebody else in fulfilling the aspiration that David had. So think of this question, how will you respond when God tells you no, when he denies you about something, but he tells someone else yes to fulfilling that specific purpose? Maybe it hurts you, it devastates you, discourages you. But we find here with David is that he's going to take that same energy that he wanted to use to build this temple, then he was going to focus on investing in the ones that God had this plan for. So we find here from verses 1 to 10, we find David in a solemn assembly giving counsel to Israel and to Solomon. So this is his farewell address. He is about to pass away. And so he's wanting to take these last final days to invest in these leaders and also to invest in his son Solomon. So he wanted to take this final opportunity to invest in some people. So David had already communicated to Israel's leaders his desire to construct a temple for the Lord. In fact, if you look there at chapter 22, he had already started collecting the building materials. So little by little, so he wanted to do something great for God. He wanted to build a temple there for God, the one that he was very close to. So now with the end of his life imminent, David summoned all the leaders again to encourage them to recognize Solomon's leadership and to follow him in this magnificent enterprise. So in the temple, so you think, and David deals with it here, in these first few verses, David said that there would be placed the Ark of the Covenant, a holy object which symbolized the earthly throne of the heavenly king. And David also mentions there the different attempts that he tried to make to build this temple. And so these attempts did not come to fruition because God had ordered that Solomon would be the builder. Now, I don't know about you, but you would think about this situation. If you wanted to build something for God and God told you no, I really think that that would discourage you. That would devastate you that you really wanted to do something for God, but he told you no. He told you that he had that plan for somebody else. So the spiritual aspiration of building the temple for God would not be fulfilled by David, but this wonderful privilege would be fulfilled by his son Solomon. So how would that make you feel if you wanted to do something in particular for God and God denied your request and wanted your child to fulfill what you wanted to do? So as you think about that thought, you think that could possibly discourage you and fill you with some disappointment. But with David, he doesn't do that. He begins to focus there on Solomon and what God's plan was for his life. So instead of dwelling and complaining on the disappointment of not being able to build the temple, David began preparing Solomon. So God told Solomon that, hey, this is your plan that I have for you to build the temple. And he told David no. So David began to prepare Solomon. So David was also preparing the people for what God had for them. He was preparing the next generation. So God tells David no. Then he begins to invest in Solomon, his son, and then also the other leaders that God had set in place. So deciding to invest in the next generation because God had a great plan and purpose for them takes some great maturity. Because, you know, you think, even as a kid, and we're kind of like, you know, as us as adults, you know, we're, you know, just bigger kids. But you think, you know, if we're told no, you know, what does that do to you? It's always, is never really a positive experience. But here we find that David had some maturity. Okay, you don't have me to build the temple, but who do you have to build the temple? Okay, my son and these leaders, then I'm going to prepare them for what God has for them. And so he decided to invest in the next generation. So many times we focus on the hurts, we focus on the disappointments, we never focus on the other people. Okay, God doesn't have me to be the missionary. Okay, God doesn't have me to be the pastor of the church. And then it just stops there. Instead of saying, hey, God has that plan for somebody else, how can I help them fulfill what God has for them? Because, hey, they're going to need prayer. They're going to need encouragement. They're going to need an investment, just like you would if you were put in that situation. So while there is the next generation that needs some encouragement and investment, and you kind of think about this truth as well, you know, us as adults, the work of God doesn't just stop with us, but it continues on. It continues on to the smaller children, to the teenagers. And many times we can think that thought as well that, hey, if I'm not here at this church, then the ministry will just stop. But that's never true. It's going to continue on with the people that are there and with the people that God's going to place in that church. So instead of being hurt, instead of being disappointed, we got to invest in the people that God has a great plan for, taking our mind off of ourselves and focusing on others. So God denied the request of David, therefore he focused on the next generation. So the work of God does not stop with us, but the work of God continues on. The work of God does not stop with the adults that are in this room tonight, but the work of God will continue with the teenagers and the younger children. Scares you a little bit. You think of some of the kids here, and later on, you know, in life, they'll be leaders. But it's always good for us to invest in them. Because the work of God doesn't stop with the adults. It continues on with the kids. And so eventually they'll be adults, and then they'll be passing on the faith that they've learned, the principles and the doctrines that they learned. They'll pass it on to the next generation. And so David here, he wasn't really just focusing on that generation, but he was focusing on the generations to come. Even though he was told no, he decided to invest in the future. So it's important to understand that David was near death. And look there at verse 9. He says, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind." So he's dealing with, you know, the different attempts that he had made, the spiritual aspirations that he had to build a temple. God told him no. God showed him who it was going to be to build the temple, which would be Solomon, all these other leaders that were set in place. And then begins to shift his attention there to Solomon and to those people. And then there in verse 9, we find with these last moments that David chooses to point Solomon, his son, towards God. And so David took the opportunity to invest in the next generation. And so here in verse 9, and then also we'll look there at verse 20 in a little bit, but he gave Solomon what he needed spiritually, and he gave the people what they needed to do the work that God had for them. And we'll look at that also there in a little bit from verses 11 to verse 19, the different materials that David had for these people. And so David was preparing them. He was giving them exactly what they needed to do what God had called them to do. So David took the focus off of himself, and he decided to focus on Solomon and the others and how they needed to depend on God. He said, "You've seen my role as king, my position as king. You've seen how I've depended on God for everything, and you need to do the same." And so he was investing in them. And so an important thing that a Christian can do is point others to God, to encourage others to follow him. In the way that we speak, in the way that we live, we should always be pointing others towards God, making sure that people see that Jesus lives inside of us, that we have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us, and that people can tell that we're a Christian. So in the way that we speak and live, you're either pointing them towards God or away from him. And so David here in this farewell address, he's deciding to invest in Solomon. And so he chooses to point Solomon and the people towards God. So look there at verse 9. He says, "And now Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind." He's saying that God has a good plan for you. He wants you to build something that I wanted to build, but he's denied me. But he's told you, yes, he wants you to do something special for him. So you need to serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. And he tells him there, as he continues on there in verse 9, "For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him," and as we read 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, you always find that word, seeking God, seek him, "he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." He says, take heed now there in verse 10. So in this farewell address of David, he chooses to point Solomon and the people towards God. He wanted them to know God for themselves. He says, hey, God has told me no to building a temple, but God has a special plan for you. He wants you to build the temple. And so you need to know God. You need to have a relationship with the one that has called you. So there in verse 9, David wants Solomon to establish his own relationship with God. And David was telling his son that, yes, I have a good relationship with God, but that's not going to make you successful. You have to have your own relationship with God. And that's why he said there in verse 9, to know the God of thy father. So in other words, you desperately need to know the God that is calling you. And you think that's our foundation. You think of faith as our foundation. But also to add to that is that you need to know that God has called you to do anything for him. Because ministry will be tough. Life will be tough. Those trials, those disappointments will come. The challenges will come in our lives. But we have to know for sure that God has called us to do something special for him. And so when God calls us to do something for him, he will equip us for the very work that he has called you to do. And so also, as I think about verse 9, you think of David pointing Solomon there to God. In his farewell address, as God had told him no about building the temple, so he decides to invest in Solomon and the leaders and also in the next generation. But we also find that David here, in these verses, could have said anything to Solomon. But here he decides to point Solomon towards God. So in other words, he's saying, follow God just like I did. Because God had a special task for Solomon, which was building the temple. And so Solomon needed to spend time with God in order to be successful in building the temple. And so Solomon needed to spend time with God. He needed to know God just like his father David. And so we know David, as you study the Old Testament, he was a man after God's own heart. But also, as you think about David, David was a flawed man. He had a lot of mistakes, a lot of sinful choices that he had made. But he's saying, if there's anything that you follow, if there's anything that you copy in my life, is that you know the God that I know. And that you have a relationship with a God that I had a relationship with. So David had his shortcomings, but he wanted Solomon to know and to follow God. And so that's what we're doing when we're pointing other people towards God. Don't follow every little thing that I've done, because I'm a sinful person. But follow the God that I follow. Serve the God that I serve. Pray to the God that I pray to. And so David was telling Solomon there in verse 9, if there is one thing to copy in my life, it is to follow God. And then so all of that is put on the shoulders of Solomon. So what did Solomon need to do? He needed to serve God completely and willingly, as it says there in verse 9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. And so Solomon needed to be aware also that the Lord knows every thought and motive. He needed to seek God and not forsake him, because God had a special plan for him. He needed to seek God for everything. And then also, Solomon needed to understand this thought as well, is that if Solomon remained true to the Lord, his kingdom would endure. Because you think as David was going to pass away, then Solomon was going to be king. And so that was the ministry, that was the plan that God had for Solomon. And so Solomon needed to make sure that he was remaining true to the Lord. So whatever God has called us to do for him, we would have to stay true to him, being obedient to what God has called us to do. God is calling us to do something for him, which means he has denied others from doing that. So if God's called us to be a Sunday school teacher, if God's called you to do something special for him, you need to serve him completely and willingly. And then look there at verse 10. Solomon needed to be strong for the task at hand. There in verse 10, take heed now, for the Lord had chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. So he's saying, if God has given you this great plan to build the temple, so that's what you need to do. You need to build it. You need to go. You need to continue on with what I've given you. So God has given you something to do. Be strong and do it. And so it's a beautiful dynamic from a father to a son. The father, whom God had used in a great way, was now telling his son to be strong. Challenges are going to happen. Disappointments are going to take place. But make sure you're strong in what God has called you to do. Think about this. The work of God is not for the weak. But also, so that means that you need to be strong. But we can't do the work of God in our own strength. God has to be strong for us. We have to depend on him every single day. So in other words, David here was telling Solomon to keep the divine covenant and trust God to bring the temple project to a happy conclusion. So God told David no, and then David understood that Solomon was the one to build the temple, and so David wanted Solomon to fulfill what God had for him, to bring the temple project to a happy conclusion. So Solomon had all that he needed for building the temple, but the most important thing only he could supply would be a heart loyal to God. And so Solomon had to be loyal to the Lord. His motives had to be right, or his work would not be blessed. So to all believers in here, we must point others towards God. We're all flawed people. We have things in our past where we're not proud of those things. But we can urge people to follow the God that we serve, to establish a relationship with the God that we have a relationship with, that they follow him every single day. And so we tell people, do not follow me, but you must follow the God that I serve. And so you think about David here, we must not allow the trials or the disappointments to stop us from investing in others. So God may not have something for us to do. So that means he has something for someone else to do, but also that means he has something specifically for us to do as well for him. You know, he may have you in somebody's life to invest in them and to help them, to encourage them. And many times I think we don't think about that. We just think, hey, I'm here in this church. How is God going to use me? How is he going to bless me? But maybe he has you in a church here to be a blessing to somebody else because God has a great plan for them. And so many times we have our focus on ourselves instead of focusing on other people. So there in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1, Paul was telling the church here to be you followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Then there in verses 11 to 21, we find David's plan for the temple. And so in a most remarkable declaration, David shared with Solomon the plans and the specifications for the temple and its furnishings, which the Spirit of God had revealed to him there in verses 11 and 12, and then also there in verse 19. So the construction, you think about actually building, physically building the temple, would be done by human hands, but the plan and significance of the temple were from God. So you think God was the one that gave them the blueprint to build this temple. And so, yes, they were going to physically build it, but God was the one that was giving them the plan to build this temple. And then there in verse 13, we find that the it included the ministry of the priests and the Levites and the weight of the gold and the silver from which the sacred temple furnishings were to be made, there from verses 14 all the way to verses 18. And then look there at verse 19. It says, all this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. So not wanting to leave anything to chance, David wrote down every detail of the heavenly revelation as we find there in verse 19. So all of the details were simply David investing in the next generation, giving them the materials that they needed, giving them the plans that they needed. So giving them exactly what they needed to get the job done. And I was kind of thinking about this as well. It would be easy to have all that written out or planned out if you were the one doing the job. Okay, you know, it's left to you to build the temple, and you know, you gather everything, you have the plan, you follow it, you know, exactly. But David was not going to be a part of it. But he was deciding to invest in the next generation. David was giving them exactly what they need to be successful, although he would not be the one that would be fulfilling the building of the temple for God. Look there at verse 20. And David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of a good courage, and do it, fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. So David encouraged Solomon to be strong for the task, courageous and not fearful, because God was with him. And then also we find there in verse 21 that the workers there would willingly assist him. So David was giving Solomon everything that he needed to be successful. You think about that, like, hey, I would love to be in that situation. God calls you to do something, and you have all these people around you to give you exactly what you need. And so David was giving them exactly what they needed to be successful. So David was focusing on the next generation. And you think about, you know what, how does this include me? And so you think of our Bible reading today. What were we reading? We're reading the Psalms. Psalms 1 through 9. Who wrote many of those Psalms? David did. And so he's even investing in us today as well. He's focusing and preparing the next generation, then also the generations to come. So God denied David from building the temple, but David still wanted to do something. So you think about that. Okay, God's not calling me to be a missionary. He's not calling me to be a Sunday school teacher. He's not calling me to be a church planner. Well, what about the ones that he is calling to do that? How can I help them to be successful? How can I help them to fulfill what God has for them? So it seems as you read these verses and as we're looking at them together, that the next generation was just as important to David as the will of God was for his own life. So you think about God's will for David's life, important, obviously. But you think the next generation to David, it was just as important. How can I help them? And you think about that in our own lives as well. Do we think about the next generation? Do we think about how God can use the children, the teenagers? So God may have told you no about being a missionary to a foreign country, but you can still be one where you work, being a missionary, being a light in a very dark world, a dark environment where we live. So God may be calling a child in your Sunday school class or even a child in your home about being a missionary. So then that leaves you the question, will you prepare them? Will you invest in them? Will you look to see after the next generation? You may think, you know, God has always wanted me to be, you know, whatever. But God told me no. Well, maybe there's a child in your house that God has that plan for them. How are you going to prepare them? How are you going to help them? Are you going to help them? So how about helping the ones that he's calling to the mission field? You can invest in them and you can pray for them. Look there at 1 Chronicles 29, verse 1. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God had chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. And David understood that. I know many times David wasn't a good father, but I think he really is just an excellent father here in how he was pointing Solomon towards God, and then also how he was preparing him for what God had for him. He said, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. So David once again turned to the assembled crowd, and he again stressed the inexperience of Solomon. He's saying, please, help my son. This is the one that God has set in place to be the next king. Help him. Help him fulfill what God has for him. And then also David stressed the importance of realizing that they're about to build not a palace for a mere human king, but the temple of the Almighty God. So David here is stressing how important God's plan is and how a great opportunity and privilege we have many times to serve God. And so we should never just do it flippantly, but we should always do it willingly because God chooses to use us. So he's saying people realize this, that your king, your soon-to-be King Solomon is young, but also the work is great and he needs help and y'all need to work together. But also what you're doing is not for man. It's not for man's applause or approval, but it's for God himself. Realize how important what you're doing, the life that you're living, is to be lived for God. So David did not dwell on the denial or disappointment because he understood that the temple was for God. He's saying, hey, God told me no, but I know that this is all about God, so I'm going to invest in the ones that God is going to allow to build this temple. Because it was still important to David. So everything we do is for God. God has called someone else to pastor. He knows Brother Terry is doing a great job, and not us. So the reality is, it's all about God. God calls people. He helps people. He tells us no at times, and sometimes we don't understand that. Many times we don't always understand God's timing. And he tells other people, yes, but it's all about God. David's focus on God, and then his focus was on pointing others towards God. Not to follow the sinful choices that I made, but to copy in my life the relationship that I have with God. So he's saying that this great work was not for man, not just for a mere human king, but for God himself. So we shouldn't get mad if God tells us no about doing something, then we just have to move on because God has something else in store for us. And so he may put us in the lives of other people to help them to fulfill what God has for them. And we have to remember, it's all for God. We're living this life to honor God. I think many times we forget that sometimes, that hey, we're living here to honor God in the life that we're living, to honor him. So David told Solomon to be strong because God will be with him. So God will call people. He's going to equip them for the very work that he's called them to perform. And so if we have another day of life, we must point them to God. Not because we're just super spiritual, but because that's what we're supposed to do in our Christian lives, pointing others towards God. So you think about this dynamic here in chapter 28 and chapter 29 as well. You have David investing in his son Solomon. And I love David telling Solomon there to be strong. That's what a good father would tell his son, to be strong in what he is to do. But what an honor Solomon had to complete what his father wanted to do for the Lord. So it was a blessing for Solomon that his father prepared him for the very thing that God had called him to do. You imagine that? God told David no, but he told Solomon yes. And then what if David would have just backed off and then Solomon just would have been left there? But no, David chose to invest in Solomon and into the leaders there that were set in place. So you may have to prepare and invest in people because God has something special for them. So David, in his final days, wanted to invest in the future generation. So in this farewell address, and yes, David was not a perfect man. He had many shortcomings. But here he did things right, here in chapter 28 and in chapter 29, pointing others towards God. As people look at our lives, do they see Jesus in us? And as you look at David's life here, you see a man that was a flawed man, but had a good relationship with God, and that's what he was doing here, pointing them towards God. The God that's calling you, you need to have a relationship with him. That's what David was telling them here in this farewell address. He wanted to invest in the future generation. You kind of would think, you know, these leaders and Solomon, you know, David's still sticking around. We know at this point he's about to pass away. And so these people are probably thinking, hey, if David is investing in us, then this job, this work that God is calling us to do must be very important. Because this person that's going to not have anything to do with it is still investing in us. And so I'm sure that got their attention. So for the adults, maybe there is something that God that you maybe want to do for God. But God has not called you to do that. You got to be faithful to Him, and what He has called you to do. Have your own relationship with God. In the life that you live, as you go to work, point others to God. As they see the life that you live, the words that you say, the actions that you produce, point them towards God. For the teens, for the children, if God is calling you to do something for Him, be faithful to His calling on your life. Don't run away from it, but do what God has called you to do. And then also allow the investment and encouragement from the adults into your life. You know, you kind of think about that as, you know, us adults now, you know, growing up, it's like, man, maybe I should have listened to some adults when they were trying to tell me about different things because they weren't, you know, being mean to you. They were trying to invest in you in your future there as well. So think of the teenagers, the children. Allow the investment and encouragement from the adults into your life. And even in your younger age, you can still point others towards God. So God may have told you the answer of no in a given area, but that only means He has given someone else the answer of yes in that same area. So how can God use you to be a blessing and an encouragement to somebody else? To invest in them. So maybe God has put you in their life to help them achieve what God has for them. So instead of dwelling on the disappointment, and many times we do that, we dwell on the disappointment, the challenges, the adversities, but we must point them to God. So if you were to be there that day, you see David investing in this generation, but also in the generations to come. Being a blessing to them, investing in them, preaching to them. You know, we find that there in verse 9 and verse 20. Being strong. To do what God has called you to do because the work is great. The work of the ministry is not for the weak. And so we need God's strength every single day. But as I think about God's will, and many times we just think about it in a selfish way where like, hey, this is God's will for my life. And that's all we work towards. That's all we give our effort and energy towards. But what about the lives of other people? How can we help people achieve what God has called them to do? Because if He's told you no about something, He's saying yes to somebody else. And so how can you help somebody else to achieve what God has called them to do? And so as I was reading this chapter during our Bible reading, it was really just a heart check where you think, hey, many times we just focus on ourselves, and there's many opportunities we have to invest in the next generation, to invest in the next upcoming missionaries and Sunday school teachers, because they can learn even at a young age. And so maybe God has put you in the life of somebody to help them achieve what God has for them. So instead of dwelling on the disappointment, instead of dwelling on the no, I think of with Joshua many times, telling him no, and you just dwell on that. And it's like, hey, there's life to be lived. And so you think about the Christian life, if God tells you no, there's still life to be lived. There's still things to do for Him. There's still people to invest in. So don't focus on the no, but focus on the people that God is telling yes. Point them towards God. All right, let's stand and we'll bow our heads and pray, and you can have some time at the altar. So when God tells us no, but He tells others yes, But many times we focus on the no. But hey, there's still more life to be lived. There's still a God to serve.